Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
Now, the PACE program to fund renewable power and other green improvements is one approach, and there are others focusing mostly on low-income households.
The private nonprofit development group Enterprise plans to come up with $4 billion in the next 5 years to retrofit or develop 75,000 green homes, partly by tapping into the growing market in carbon offsets. Dana Borland, the vice president for Enterprise Green Communities, says they try to make low-income housing more energy efficient because the people who live there get hit the hardest by utility costs.
It's astounding, really, when you look at it. There was a study of low-income households to look at what they were paying for their utility costs, and they're paying at least four times more than a moderate-income household is just for energy, which means a trade-off. So they're much more likely to skip their medical visits or even skip eating for a day just to keep the lights on or keep the air conditioning going.
Now, not all of the projects that you're talking about are just about improving energy efficiency. This is a broader definition of green. Tell me about this project you have in Seattle.
So there's one terrific development called High Point. It's a large redevelopment of public housing on the west side of Seattle. There were 60 homes built to a specific standard to really make those homes easier to breathe in. Mostly because they don't have carpet, which really does attract sort of dirt and pollutants in it, and also installed filter systems for the whole house. So you're getting the right amount of fresh air into the home and taking the stale air out. So the children that moved in had asthma. That was part of the requirement of putting the families in those specific homes. Within a one-year time frame, those children are experiencing a 60% increase in the number of days that they don't have symptoms related to asthma.
Now, how do you pay for all of this stuff? Tell me about this, what sounds to me like a very clever idea, to use this whole notion of carbon offsets to help offset these costs.
Enterprise realized that if you met the Green Communities criteria, you'd be reducing carbon emissions by about 2 tons. So we decided to figure out how to operate within the voluntary carbon market to buy offsets from developers of green communities projects that would allow them to pay for those energy efficiency measures that would result in the lower carbon emissions.
Now, what has to happen to make that happen? This is part of some legislation?
Right now is just operating. So you, Jeff...
Oh, the voluntary market is happening.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
It is part of the climate bill to think about a cap-and-trade system. That cap-and-trade system could generate as much as $50 to even $300 billion.
So if this goes large scale, then some industry looking to offset its carbon pollution could basically buy a stake in one of your greenhouses.
Exactly. That's our goal, is to really link affordable housing into the green economy.
You know, we are, of course, in this economic crisis, which had, its start in the housing crisis and the foreclosure crisis. How's that affecting the effort to green housing?
It's obviously not a good situation, but we are presented now with a tremendous opportunity to go into those homes and rehab them and do things, on a moderate level, but will have a tremendous impact for then the new owner. And what we're seeing is there is a slight correlation emerging between homes where the owners could not afford their utility bills, coupled with their rising mortgage costs, just became a disaster. We forget, I think, sometimes that housing costs, it's not just your upfront rent payment or your mortgage payment. It is the operations and maintenance. And that we've seen take a huge spike in terms of the cost for energy, for electricity, and for water.
You know, part of what I find interesting as you lay this stuff out is it's not just green in an environmental sense. This is green in a dollars and cents sense. This is bottom line kind of thinking.
Jeff, exactly. This is just good business sense. The other part of that, though, is what we're seeing in terms of the engagement in this movement, that you and I both live somewhere. And hopefully most of us do have a home that we have control over or an apartment where we can actually take small steps or larger steps and play a large role in the global situation that we're facing in terms of climate change.
I don't know why this just occurred to me, but the root of the word ecology, eco, means house.
It does. It does. Yes.
Home sweet home.
Home sweet home.
Dana Borland is Vice President for Enterprise Green Communities. Thanks for visiting.
Thank you.
Well, as we heard, climate change legislation could have a big impact on green housing. Both the U.S. Senate and President Obama are now turning their attention to that legislation, and so will we on our next program. For a preview, go to our website, loe.org.
Coming up, how green water power might be very bad for biodiversity.
Development is important to the welfare of our people. Environment is also important to the welfare of our people. I don't think there is anywhere on Earth where you have the mixture of high biodiversity yet high threat.
Hydropower on the Mekong. Stay with us on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.